Last September, activists in New York City responded to a call by Adbusters magazine to occupy Wall Street in response to the growing concentration of wealth and power in the richest 1% of the population. A camp in that city's Zuccotti Park has since inspired Occupy movements in hundreds of cities around the world, including an ongoing occupation of Memorial Park in Winnipeg. In recent weeks, the movement has expanded to include greater links with labor and other activist communities. Alex D.P. from the Student Revolutionary Federation joins me in the studio to discuss these developments. Good evening, Alex.
Hi there. How's it going?
Good. Thanks for joining us. This week, protesters in cities across the west coast of North America are responding to Occupy Oakland's call for work stoppages along the Pacific coast. There's been activists in Minneapolis that have been stopping foreclosures of against homeowners there. What do you think is behind this movement out of the parks and into a more robust phase of the Occupy movement?
I think there's a recognition on their parts of what it takes, but I think there's also a different context in the U.S. The financial system has gutted the U.S. economy more so foreclosures and those types of loss of capital by many more people in the middle and lower classes has been more pronounced. That's possible to happen in Canada, but I think there's a difference in potentially who is participating in the Occupy in terms of class and race lines. But there's also been, an understanding of what happened in Egypt made by some of the organizers, and they've been successful in mobilizing around the understanding of what it takes to bring down a regime. But there's also been, a winning of the battle of ideas by trade unionists and communist anarchists and more leftist people on a whole in the Occupy movement.
So how did the events in Egypt at Tahrir Square inspire what's happening now?
So in Tunisia and Spain and Egypt, there was all occupations by various groups in very famous squares in each of the countries. The success of Egypt and Tunisia both had to do with the occupations moving out of the square and beginning organizing in workplaces, in schools, in universities, and other institutions where ordinary people spend the majority of their days. When you occupy, there's only a certain number of people that can occupy for a length of time. Like, there's only about like 7 people at Occupy Winnipeg that have been able to stay because that has been the space of organizing. But when we go out into the places where, like, you spend 40% of your life at work, that's pretty much the statistic. So if you can use that time to productive revolutionary ends. And that was the lesson of Egypt, was that Mubarak came down when the occupation was supported by a general strike.
And yet the public face of the Occupy movement has really been these camps that have been set up in parks across North America and other cities around the world. What role do you think that the camps, like the one we have in Memorial Park, what role do they have in advancing the movement that you're talking about?
They have the role of being a symbol. They have a role of being a gathering place. They have a role of being an experiment in changing social relations. And they have the role of providing a context for festivities and celebration. They can be the heart of the movement, but its bones need to be in our workplaces, in our homes, and in our schools.
One of the things that we've seen the Occupy movement be criticized for is a lack of concrete demands. Do you think that this is a fair criticism?
I think it's a misunderstanding and thus becomes a fair criticism, but the Occupy movement spent a lot of time building internal unity, and you can see that there's differences between all of the different Occupies and what they're going for. But there's also the fact that Occupy is just as much about shaping new relations between people and it being a transformative space for the participants. So Occupy is a place where for a long time it was more common to hear people say, I don't know, or I'm changing my mind than in any other place that I've ever encountered. So it was a space for open dialogue and learning. But Occupies have issued demands, but they're huge demands that people don't understand. It's like when you call for an end to the disparity in wealth by the 1%. It's not like we're focusing on one particular thing. It's a whole systemic, like capitalism systemic. It affects people in many different ways. So there was this period where it was everyone's individual demands that were being seen and not understood as a whole. But that's why you just say we want to destroy capitalism, but that means like so many different things in every individual's life.
Do you think here in Winnipeg we're going to be seeing a more activist turn of the Occupy movement? Are there actions that that will be undertaken here?
We're currently in a recomposition phase. We're making the heart of OW, the camp, winterable so that we no longer have to focus on camp as an issue. Like there's a lot of struggles with camp lately that kind of took away the activist bend. But that should be solved as of now and in a couple weeks from now as we put in our last winter installments. And in terms of things that have come out of Occupy, there's been the founding of the Student Revolutionary Federation with a collective already formed at U of W and a collective in formation at U of M and a plan to go into community centers, high schools, CMU, Red River College, Collège Saint-Boniface, and all those other things in an understanding and learning the lessons of the Egyptian experience that we need to get to the places that we hang out and bring more people into the movement.
Well, I look forward to the success of those endeavors. Thanks for speaking with me today.
Thanks for having me on.
I've been speaking with Alex about the Occupy movement.